Is it any wonder that a designer and a futurist would set about designing the future?
I have no notions of a perfect society. I don't know what that means. I know we can do much better than what we've got.
Dr. Jacques Fresco has patented an array of innovative products. And if you can redesign everything else, why not redesign an entire economy? Dr. Fresco had his first encounter with economics during the crash of 1929, which brought about the Great Depression.
I felt the rules of the game we play by were obsolete and insufficient.
Out of this awakening came a new design for a resource-based economy, an economy without money. They call it the Venus Project. Dr. Fresco's ideas are catching on and have been featured on Zeitgeist and other movies. Join me, your host, Daniel Kirvine, for an interview with Dr. Jacques Fresco and Roxanne Meadows on Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio, Wednesday, 4 to 6 p.m. on KBBF-FM. You are listening to Shift Shapers, Pole Reversal Radio, and we have here over Skype some very interesting people with some ideas that could blow your mind. This is breakthrough stuff here, the kind of thing we don't normally think about in the course of a day. What are we thinking about? We're thinking about, where do we get the next buck? Where do we put the next buck? Where are we going to get our stuff? These are people with the Venus Project. We are joined here by Roxanne Meadows and Jacques Fresco with the Venus Project. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Daniel.
Just great. Now, I first came into contact with your ideas watching the Zeitgeist films. First one was Zeitgeist Moving Forward. Then I looked at the Zeitgeist Addendum film and saw both of you on that as well, talking about a resource-based economy and the Venus Project and envisioning a world currency. It's kind of like a world without money. Can you tell us about the Venus Project, what it is, and what got you started on this?
I would say the 1929 crash, stock market crash, is what got me started on it. I looked around. There was about 15 million people unemployed in the New York area, and they were sleeping in every empty lot, which was pretty awful. And there was still stuff in store windows, radios, all kinds of gadgets, but people didn't have the purchasing power. They were laid off. And that was a time when I felt there was something wrong with our culture. That didn't have to happen because the factories were still intact. The farms existed. The transportation existed. But people were out of work. So I felt there was something wrong with the culture. And at that time, proceeded to design a new type of society. But I wasn't sure of how to do it. I was only about 16 or 17 years old.
An age where you can get very ambitious, I think.
Well, I would try to change people by approaching them with a different set. And I succeeded quite a bit. And then I asked myself, how are you going to change the world? There's so many different values and so many different concepts of God, right and wrong and all that. In the Arab world, somebody may have had as many as 10 wives. How do you change people? I said, I didn't know.
Right.
So I worked on a lot of different methods. And finally, I said, why don't you test your system to see if it works? So I joined the Ku Klux Klan in Miami. And dissolved it in a month and a half.
And how would you do something like that?
What's that?
How would you do something like that?
Well, first of all, the leader of the group had a war surplus store. You know what that is?
I remember those, yes.
I used to buy lenses and different optical units from the guy. And he said, Jack, what do you do with that stuff? I said, well, I experiment with it, and I make my own optical devices. He says, can I visit your lab and see what you do? I said, any time. He came out to my lab, and he said, he was so fascinated by what he saw. He said, Jack, you're a smart guy. What do you think of the Klux? That was his frame of reference. And I said, it's a great organization, but it doesn't go far enough. That's to get his ear. If you attack, it doesn't work. So it's a great organization, but it doesn't go far enough. He said, what do you mean? And I explained it to him. after he'd been to my lab, he was so impressed. He said, will you come on down to one of the Klan meetings and talk to our boys about how you think? I said, Lou, they wouldn't listen to me. He says, I'm in charge. I'll get them to listen to you. Mm-hmm. That's what I needed, a strategy of entry. And, of course, with that, I began to talk to them about environment and how it affects behavior. Of course, they had to listen. Of course, Lou said, I want you to listen to Jack for at least an hour. And so after they listened, they asked a lot of questions, and I answered their questions without attack, without attacking their values. I just said that all of us make mistakes. We have erroneous ways of thinking. I showed them how and why. In time, they said to me, my dog never listens to me, and I showed them how to get their dogs to listen to them. And then they said, my kids never listen to me, and I showed them how to get their kids to listen to them. And once I succeeded in doing that, they were open. And I began to talk about the effects of environment on behavior. I said, if you were raised as a baby in Nazi Germany, and you never saw anything else except Heil Hitler, Deutschland over alles, Germany above all, you'd be a Nazi. And if you're raised in France, you'd say La Tour Eiffel. You'd talk about the Eiffel Tower with a French accent. And so I tried to get that across to them. I said, if you were raised by the headhunters of the Amazon as a baby, if you never saw anything else, you'd be a headhunter. And if I said to you, doesn't it bother you to have six shrunken heads? You might say, yes, my brother has to be. You see, oh, that would be normal to that culture. Nobody is good or bad, but they reflect that culture. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do, and where I go with it is that you're talking about a model for if we could multiply this by billions of people,
yes,
an entire planet would start thinking differently and acting differently toward each other.
Yes, we want to make a motion picture to do that. The motion picture would then be done in different languages so it can run all over the world. You see, a motion picture can get to more people in less time than personal descriptions.
Essentially, what we're saying that everything that people say or do or think, even their facial expressions, are a result of the culture that they're raised in. Every country makes people patriotic to that country and gives them a value system that will perpetuate the country that they live under. So if you want different types of people to be more cooperative and inventive, then you really have to design an entirely different culture. We are saying the Venus Project looks for the root of the problem. Other futurists and other people who talk about the future don't deal with the monetary system. We feel that it is the monetary competitive debt system that really caused the problems. We don't need it anymore. It's a fictitious system. Money doesn't relate to anything. There's nothing real to back it up. It's all made up. And it tells us if we get health care, if we get education, if we get food, who lives, who dies, because you have money. And we say we don't have to live with that system anymore. We have enough technology today, and we still have enough resources to feed, house, clothe everyone on Earth. And that's what the Venus Project is about. It's an entirely new system, social design, that updates our values and the way we operate and live according to the methods of science and our latest technologies. People are afraid of technology today because they should be fearful, because technology today, it makes people lose their job. It displaces people. The best scientists are making war armament and weapons of mass destruction. We make so much money from the war industries. That's what perpetuates our economy. And today, scientists, they sell out to the systems, to the monetary system. A real scientist wouldn't make weapons. They would say, what does the other culture, why are we going to war? What do they advocate? They would question everything, not just their own little discipline.
You've explored this already in a film that called Paradise or Oblivion, which is right on the very first homepage of your website for the Venus Project, where we've been taught to accept that homelessness and poverty and environmental destruction are inevitable and not subject to change,
And that, just like the monetary system, and it looks as though the monetary system is actually grinding to a halt on its own.
Yes, absolutely. If you understand what I'm saying, if you put up $500,000 to help somebody get elected as president, you owe them a favor if you're elected. Do you understand what I mean? Money corrupts. You can pay off judges, senators, sell drugs. So what we want to do is go to a resource-based economy in which we don't use money, but we have the capacity to produce an abundance and make it available without a price tag. We don't have to sell things anymore. Maybe 100 years ago, politics was good, but today, politics is obsolete. Everything that you have, your radio, your airplane, your automobile, is all technical. Politicians don't know how to increase the agricultural yield. Politicians don't know how to end war. They say, we've always had wars, we'll always have wars. Yeah. They don't understand a lot. They are politically ambitious people who are very ignorant as far as being well-read in different disciplines. They are not. But don't take my word for it. Ask any politician, how would you prevent war? They say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. How can we increase the agricultural yield? I don't know. How can you stop automobile accidents? I don't know. They don't know a damn thing related to the physical world. I'm talking about all political parties. They're all basically ignoramuses. So what you have today is based upon technology. The thing that frees you from laborious tasks is machines. And the machines will keep multiplying in industry until the majority of people do not have purchasing power and can't find a job. And when they lose confidence in the people they elected, they will look for something else. Not until that day. People don't give a damn except, hey, I've got a job, I've got a car for my wife and one for me, and a house in the country. As long as they got that, they don't care about other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as long as I've got mine. Well, there are a lot of people being shaken up. I mean, really, the meme today is that the middle class is disappearing.
That's right.
It's becoming the incredibly rich and then the dwindling income of everyone else.
Yes, and that's what it takes to get social change, to get people asking new questions. It takes an economic stress or breakdown, losing your home, your job, or your means of support.
And it's amazing that people, after seeing what's going on, they still try and think that this system, the monetary system, can become ethical, that all you have to do is vote different people in. And everybody really serves the large industries. You know, every politician that is in serves the industries and serves the well-being of those in positions of differential advantage, those that have a lot of money. They really write the laws for the politicians to vote on.
They literally do.
Yes, they do. Lobbyists come in and write the laws and give it to them. And it's for the industry's interest, not for the people's interest. They really don't give a damn about you. The bottom line is profit, and that's all they have to care about, because they have to keep up their mortgages. And when you have more money, you buy more things, and you have more stockholders that you're indebted to. So they're in positions that they have to do the things that they do also, and they really don't care. They're ruthless in a lot of ways. They can't afford to care. So it's really not their fault. They're in that position. But to try and make this system ethical and just, there is no such thing. We have to look at different ways of doing it. And don't get stuck with this notion of democracy, that we're just trying to do more democracy, because that's a huge fallacy. You're as free in this culture as your purchasing power. You don't have democracy. They give you the illusion of voting for somebody that they put up there to serve their own bidding. And you don't have a say on how things go or how things run. Did you ever vote on this last Iraq war? You were forced into it. Did you ever vote for the space station? No, roads or different architectural forms? Not at all.
So no, you have not at all. And that system's very much dysfunctional, even more than usual. It's in total locked up loggerheads. It's you probably have a word for that yourself, but it's ground to a halt, I think.
Well, the minute you go to work for any corporation, when you punch that time clock, you enter a dictatorship. Every job is a dictatorship. They don't ask you, what would you like to do? What are you interested in? No. They assign you to either straightening out automobile fenders, servicing engines, being a plumber or mechanic. Everything is a dictatorship in this culture. They tell you, you know, they don't like dictatorships, but it's the only way they can operate. That's why they outsource to China. They outsource because they don't care about what Americans are laid off. They want the lowest bid for the products they turn out. So they build factories in China, Taiwan, wherever they can to cut the cost. That means, by the way, if they don't do that, they will lose the competitive edge. So they work toward maintaining the competitive edge.
And also the system that we live under today is inherently corrupt. We make things to wear out and break down. We have to continuously sell. In this system, all you are consumers. We have to keep selling things to keep it going and to keep people in debt, to keep this thing going. So we have planned obsolescence, where you make things to wear out and break down. And this is corrupt. This is criminal to the environment and to one another. And then you have advertising companies that back that up to make you emotionally want to buy things to keep up with other people or to keep up with artificialities like certain colors are in this month. So you have to get clothing that has those colors or certain fins are on or off a car. And we're plundering the planet. We're wasting the resources for absolutely nothing to perpetuate this system that's so destructive anyway.
Well, you take a city like New York, every building is a different size. All the windows are different. The doors are different. You can't house people that way. It's really wasting resources. The system was good 100 years ago. Maybe even politics was the only way. But today, far better methods.
So what the Venus offers is an alternative. As long as you complain about things and walk in the streets with protest signs, it doesn't make any difference unless you're posing an alternative. And the Venus Project poses an alternative. Jacques's been working on it for 75 years. He's worked on it in relation to human behavior, technology, energy systems, total city systems. If you go to our website, thevenusproject.com, you'll see a lot of designs that back up this system, which enables us to have a high standard of living. The main objective is to create abundance as quickly as possible. Use technology wisely and intelligently to create abundance.
And I think that scientists are very naive to have given the government nuclear weapons because they're not smart enough to use them intelligently. If you don't understand that, Oppenheimer approached Harry Truman, who was a hat salesman. I don't know what the hell he was doing. But anyway, they approached him and said, now that we've given you the atom bomb, will you drop it, say, about 30 miles off the coast of Japan and tell them we have a terrible weapon, we'd rather not use it, so we're demonstrating it. Harry Truman said, I don't want those people in my office anymore. He was a jackass. Now, George Washington had 300 slaves. Did you know that?
I knew that the founding, so-called founding fathers, most were slavers, particularly if they lived south of Pennsylvania.
You're absolutely right. Where do you think we got this country from? We stole it from the Indians.
Mm-hmm.
All nations are basically corrupt. I'm not upholding any nation. They are all corrupt. They all operate with the same methods, keeping those in power that aren't already in power. The Venus Project has a totally new approach. It's neither communistic, socialistic, free enterprise, or fascist. It is not a dictatorship of technicians. There's no social stratification, no armies, no navies, no killing machines. We have to bring all the nations together and take care of the planet. If we fail to stop dumping stuff into the oceans, we're going to kill the fish and the dolphins. If we continue to poison the atmosphere, we're going to make it difficult for people to live.
In 1989, there was something they called the Velvet Revolution, which was the fall of the communist empire. The Berlin Wall came down. They called it a Velvet Revolution. You know, there was a change. There was a big change. An empire had fallen. Now, when I look at the potential for people adopting what you're talking about, resource-based economy, that to me seems like a real revolution. I mean, everything ends up being different from day one. When I see the potential for people to adopt resource-based economy, the main nub of the question is, does the debt-based economy have to collapse in order for the resource-based economy to take hold and emerge?
I wish people were rational enough to understand that. I'm afraid it's going to take a collapse to do that. There has to be a major event that turns people around. They are not reasonable today, nor are they logical, and so they have to be instructed as to what the methods of science is. Not scientists controlling things. All scientists will do in the future is build bridges, transportation units, but they will not dictate social policy. Social policy is studying the environment and the carrying capacity of the Earth's resources and living in accordance with the carrying capacity of the Earth's resources, not some opinion of some senator or congressman.
I want to mention, too, that all of the Earth's resources in a resource-based economy become the common heritage of all the world's people. And eventually, artificial boundaries would disappear because you just don't need it anymore.
All people need the same thing: clean air, clean water, and a relevant education, meaning an education as to how we relate to one another, how we relate to nature. If we destroy the oceans and dump radioactive waste in the oceans and other materials like the U.S. Army did, the U.S. Army dumped 67 tons of nerve gas off the coast of Miami, Florida. How can you love the country and do things like that? The country is utterly corrupt. I wish I had time on NBC or CBS, but NBC is owned by General Electric, so you're not going to get criticism. And the oil companies are not for the electric car. It would hurt them. So they really run the show. You only have four major broadcasting companies owned by the establishment. So what do you expect to hear? You don't get any different ideas. But we would welcome criticism if you have any genuine criticism of the resource-based economy.
You know, when you think of what it would be like without the need for money, first I want to mention that it's like the public library. Things would be available without money, barter, credit, debt, or servitude of any kind. As I mentioned, we can do that with all the technology if we use it differently, but it would be a huge, exciting renovation project. It, you know, to be able to look at the Earth and see how to reorganize society and rebuild society so it's efficient, clean, and a beautiful place to live. And that means doing total city systems, as Jacques has, that he has designed for many years. We have it on our website, thevenusproject.com, under city systems. So it just becomes a problem-solving system. You know, today, with the monetary system, you have professions like bankers, lawyers, ad agencies, insurance agencies, salespeople, yes. These are all parasitic to a system that's trying to solve problems and take care of the needs of people and reclaiming the Earth's environment. If we continue the way we are, we're going to pollute the Earth and kill one another. So we really have to start looking at alternatives.
People sometimes say, well, very often it's said that humans are hardwired to be competitive, to be violent, to have this mechanism inside that says, I must have more than you. And I keep hearing you, Jacques and Roxanne, saying, it's all about your culture and how you're brought up. People don't have to be that way.
No, it doesn't. No, people could be brought up not wanting to hurt one another. But today they're brought up to go to another country. If they go to France or Germany, they go to the American Club. So you don't get to learn anything about a different culture. But you'll find out that all people throughout the world love their kids. They all are very much similar. You can take the child of an Australian bushman and raise it in a high-tech society, and so that the child can become a productive unit for the country. Everybody will be productive. No girl will be standing behind a counter in a department store. That isn't using her brain. It's just using a little bit, or one millionth of her brain, because she's in the sales department where she sells hair lotion or lipstick or something like that. And then if she does that for 17 years, when she retires, all she's got is hair lotion and lipstick in her brain. She doesn't have anything else. And that is the abuse of human behavior. In the future, even psychologists today try to adjust people to this system. They have to be stupid indeed to do that, the same with psychiatrists.
You know, you're born into a system of tremendous scarcity, and you're told that everybody has to go out there and make it and fend for themselves. And you do that by stepping over other people and abusing people. You get more. So you're reinforced in this monetary system for the abuse that you do. You're admired for the amount of money you accumulate. And when you accumulate money, people owe you things. You can tell people what to do by paying them. So they owe you. They owe you their labor and they owe you other things. So it's really a system of vulturism. Everybody's a vulture after one another in this system. You're not born with those attitudes. You're not born with envy and bigotry and pride and jealousy. It's generated in the society.
I wanted to say there's no such thing as human nature. I said some people are very creative, some are lazy, some are hardworking. Not true. It depends on how they reinforce for their effort. If you get minimum wage, you don't have much incentive. You can't drive a good car. You drive a used car. A used car breaks down more than a new car. So you have tension, hypertension. Most people are nervous. They have to go to psychologists and psychiatrists because the system produces these stresses on people. Even serial killers are made by this culture. When I was a kid, I wanted to know whether our behavior toward women is natural or learned. So I said, I don't know. And I went to some islands called Tuamotu in the South Pacific, where people were very primitive and they wore no clothing. But the fact that they wore no clothing, no male ever stared at a female body, only the eyes. Can you understand that? If you're brought up swimming nude as a baby, there are no peeping toms in the society. There are no fetishes. All that's made by this culture. Every book written about sex is culture bound, has nothing to do with reality.
Also, there was no pornography. You couldn't sell pictures of nude kids or women or adults. It just eliminates that problem.
Yes. If boys and girls swam nude when they were very young, there would be no fetishes. There'd be no peeping toms. You have to know what the mechanism is that sets human behavior. Once you know what that is, you can design a society that has no aberrant behavior in it, unless a person's born with brain damage and they would be cared for very well. You wouldn't have to fight for women's rights or human rights. Every human being would be a part of the planet, cooperative, and children will play with any child, Japanese, Chinese, black. It's when mother moves in and says, you're a Lutheran, you don't play with that Catholic. Mother means well, but she's a victim of culture. We are all victims of the culture we're brought up in. And that can be cleaned out in a relatively short time.
When I hear you describe that, it just reminds me that I believe there's a place in the heart for everybody that knows that all of what you're saying is true. It's just that place where self-doubt lives is where all of these other, like, oh, well, that's great, but, you know, I got to go get my car fixed and go make another buck. Now, going over to a situation where there's some dynamic because there's some collapse occurring, you just had one of your books translated into Greek. I got this off of your website. What was the intention around that, and how is that playing out?
We have chapters of the Venus Project all over the world, and there are several chapters that are translating Jacques' book, The Best That Money Can't Buy. You know, you mentioned the films that introduce you to Jacques, and those films were taken from Jacques' book, The Best That Money Can't Buy, as well, all those ideas about the future. So there are certain chapters that are translating his book that we just had it translated into Spanish from Colombia, and in Greece with a chapter called Pangea that supports the Venus Project. So people all over the world are working toward this and doing what they can. We had our linguistic team when we did Paradise or Oblivion, the 48-minute video that you can see for free on our website about this subject. The linguistics team, within a couple weeks, translated or subtitled that video into 28 different languages. So people are very eager to translate what we're doing and to spread the word about a resource-based economy and positive alternatives for the future.
And there are other areas where people can be of assistance to the project as well. Isn't that correct? It looks as though there's a section in your website where people can actually join up and contribute.
That's right. In so many different ways, I can't begin to tell you. We have the Venus Expressions team where they're doing artwork and posters and videos and music and written material about this direction. We have over 3,000 people who have signed up on our professional database who want to help us in different areas when we need to call upon them. We have an animation team where many people are animating Jacques' thousands of drawings. and we use a lot of the animations in our productions and in our brochures and press releases and everything. We have a whole network of people who are helping in different ways, you know, in marketing and any way that they can.
Let me clarify one particular area. Prior to the public library, people couldn't afford books. With the advent of the public library, anybody can check out any book. Next door to the public library, we have a camera center where anybody in the community can check out a camera or a lawnmower or anything they want. And we have musical instruments you can check out. If you make things available to people, you don't need police and prisons, and you don't have theft. When people have access to the necessities of life, they do not steal. And you can't sell drugs if you do away with money. If you don't do away with money, you'll have all the problems related to money continuous.
One of the things you say in Paradise or Oblivion is there's only a policeman in front of things that people have a need for and don't have access to.
You're right.
Scarcity produces all kinds of aberrant behaviors.
The public doesn't know that the Kimberley diamond mines burn tons of diamonds every year to keep the price up. They just don't understand how their system works. You know, they tried an experiment. They read sections of the Bill of Rights in a high school today and asked the students what they thought of the Bill of Rights. They said it sounds like communist propaganda. This is how poorly informed youngsters are in American schools. And American schools do not teach you to think or reason or how to relate to one another or have developed a language that's not subject to interpretation. The language we use in America today, all over the world, is subject to interpretation, which is terrible. We need a language like science, mathematics, technology, engineering principles, where communication is understood and not is subject to interpretation.
Now, in contributing to that worldwide, you've mentioned that you have a film in progress. You are gathering the resources financially to put it together. Can you tell us a little bit about the movie, what you're planning to do with it, what you're planning to show with it? Are you going to have some of your fantastic animated designs in there?
Yes, we are. We're going to show the cities of the future, transportation in the future, and we're going to show there are no more signs, drive carefully, slippery when wet. We put abrasive in the highway so it's not slippery when wet. We have no more signs, drive carefully, school children crossing. When children press the button across the street, the pavement turns up like a comb, so no car can hit a kid. That's what we really want. We don't want lawnmowers. The lawnmower people would like to sell a lawnmower to every home. But in actuality, what they needed was three gigantic lawnmowers that can take care of the area. But in the research of the Venus Project, we will design grass that doesn't grow more than an inch and a quarter tall. That's as far as it goes. You don't need lawnmowers. You need to solve the problems. And soldiers are trained to become killing machines. That's all they are. We would take all the soldiers, send them back to school, and teach them problem solving. There are many unresolved problems in the world today, and that's what we need answers to. How to bridge the difference between nations, not kill one another.
It's really inspiring to see your animated designs for future cities. And, you know, maybe it's not even going to be that far into the future. Maybe it can happen sooner than far in the future, you know? But there's no missiles out there. There aren't armed fighter jets.
No Navy.
People are actually just living together.
Yes.
And having what they need. And the Earth has what it needs.
When you talk of a world with peace and harmony, if you don't describe how to attain that, you leave people in midair and frustrated. The Venus Project deals with what to do about it. So everything is available if that bothers you, like the public library. They felt if you made a public library, people wouldn't buy books from bookstores. Well, they found out when they opened the library, people read more and they bought more books than ever from bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, they were wrong. That's why we make things available to people. If you make things available, you don't have the basic problems.
And the smarter the kids are, if they're not hanging out in malls today, they have no place to go. If they're not shooting up drugs, but they're learning something constructive that would help your life, then everybody's lives are more secure and improved. But when you educate kids in the future to work on problems that are common to everyone, like heart disease and cystic fibrosis, or how to grow crops without detrimental poisons, or how to clean the air, then that improves everybody's life. That's what we call as extensional to one another. That's real love. You manifest it within the environment. You don't just talk about it.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to kill anybody or hurt anybody. We feel that all people are victims of culture and we can turn them around. We don't need to kill them.
Oh, right. Yeah. That proves out in some of the most effective programs for keeping kids out of gangs are the ones that put the kids into service, public service for others, and working on farms and
Absolutely.
Doing things where they're actually doing real things.
You're right on track.
Yes.
So how can people find out more about the Venus Project and see what they can do to take part in it?
That's great. Thank you. As I mentioned before, go to thevenusproject.com. There is another organization without the in front of it, so it gets very confusing. So it's thevenusproject.com. Check out Get Involved. There's lots of things to help with. We have different chapters all over the world, as I mentioned, so you can see if there's a chapter in your area. If there isn't, then start one. We have connections on the website, how to get in touch with people with that. We also have tours here on Saturdays, every Saturday that we're in town. And people come from all over the world, and Jacques speaks for many hours. We show you around the research center that we have here, the 21-acre research center, where we have hundreds of models on the future. And Jacques describes those as well. We have 10 different buildings here. We walk around the grounds. But mostly Jacques talks to people about and orients them in terms of what type of value system would be appropriate in the future and what's the matter with the culture today and why the values that we get today are really erroneous to be able to be sustainable and make it into the future. So it's really an education you don't get anywhere else. You can check that on our tour page. We do charge for that. That helps support the project, but you get many books and videos as well with that. And if you have any questions, we're easily accessible. We have a phone number on the website and lots of things to look into under Get Involved. We are doing new things, and we're putting them up on the website as well.
Well, thank you very much, Roxanne Meadows, who is just speaking now, and also Jacques Fresco, who both have been in the Zeitgeist films and have produced a number of movies and films of their own, documentaries. So you are busy getting the word out about the Venus Project. Thank you very much for getting together with us on Shift Shapers Pole Reversal Radio to talk about it as well.
Thanks for the opportunity to even present these ideas.
Yes, we really appreciate it, Daniel.